Lord have mercy. And we get to ride that wave right into dear sweet Solomon. Meaningless. Meaningless. Everything I do is meaningless. Building, meaningless. Women, meaningless. Pleasure, meaningless. Food, drink, meaningless. Chapter 4. Oppression, toil, friendlessness, joy to the world. Again, I'm excited about today. We're gonna get joy to the world. Okay. Again, I looked and I saw all of the oppression that was taking place under the sun. Folks, tell me that God is not sovereign in how he times these things out. As we feel this pressure, as we feel these things coming down on us, as we feel burdened for families, as we feel burdened for church, as we feel burdened for our friends, as we see pain and suffering going on around us, how is it that Solomon on this day says, I looked around and I saw all of the oppression, the spiritual, the mental oppression on us that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and I saw no comforter. Power was on the side of the oppressor, it seemed. And I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living are still alive. Man, that's just sad. I mean, Solomon's on the bottom. I think dead people are happier than me. Because I'm aching. I'm hurting. My friends are hurting. But better than both is he who has not yet been seen. Something grabs him by the bootstraps, all right? Somebody, you know, puts a foot in his fanny. Under the sun, this is how I feel. But somehow, someway, somewhere, the God of Jerusalem, Yahweh, is out there. And he has not seen all of the evil. He's not experienced all of the evil under the sun. And I saw all the labor and all the achievements that spring from man's envy of his neighbor. This is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. The fool folds his hands and ruins himself. Better one handful of tranquility than two handfuls of toil chasing after the wind. I saw something else meaningless. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. His eyes were not content with his own wealth. For whom am I toiling, he said, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless. A miserable business! ! Very popular phrase coming. Very popular phrase. Marriage phrase. Friendship phrase. Everybody's heard this before. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friends can help him up. Pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands cannot be broken. If you've heard that before, raise your hand. That's right, that's right. How many of you have heard, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? Raise your hand. Yes. Having now learned something, been revealed something, both by some of the preachers that I listen to and some of the things that I've read, I can tell you that there's a lot of times that there are verses in the scripture that are not used in the way they are intended. People misuse and misquote a lot of verses, folks. I can do all things is one of them. You need to read what's before it and what's after it so that you can use it in context. Yes, it should give you strength, but let it give you strength in the right way. Well, as I've heard and seen all of this stuff about a cord of three strands, this is about friendship. This is about one another. We use marriage, wife, husband, God, three strands, can't be broken. That's all valid. But we miss something. We miss something, and I'm really excited about it. Let me tell you why. Because Solomon has been swinging his club. He has. At everything. And please hear me. I'm not trying to run anybody off, all right? But here's what he's saying. He says, this bites. This sucks. This is horrible. This smells. This stinks. Yeah. And he's never giving us any answers. You know, he's saying, my world is crashing down around me. My friends are dying. My children are crying. My families are falling apart. He's looking out at this past week like I did. And he's saying, pooey on all this. But we miss a point. He actually gives us an answer. He gives us an answer, not to fix the meaninglessness, but to get through it. We're all searching for answers for some problems, that sometimes it's not about the answer, it's about the journey. And in looking for our answers, we forget to walk on through and make the journey. And one of our core values at this church, unity in the body, is the answer he gives. Lo and behold, we happen to be biblical here. Oppression hurts. Toil hurts. Losing friends, losing family, seeing people emotional hurts. Guess how you get through it? Community. Real, tight, God-given community. That's the answer. Well then, Craig, we're here at church. We're doing this thing. Why can't we get through it? Church, I will fight for community. It is a hill to die on for community. Unity in the body is our thing. There are people in this room that my heart cries out to. My heart cries out to, because I know in my spirit. I don't know how I know. I'm not wise or brilliant. I'm not looking for any applause. I want you in my spirit. My heart aches because they are my family, and I know that I've ticked them off. I know that I've hurt their feelings. I know that I've not done something that I could have done or should have done or that they think I ought to have done, and I don't hate them for that, but I miss them because I feel the separation between us, and you feel it too. You feel it with one another. Solomon gives us a gift in this passage. He points directly at all of us. And he says, do you want to beat this? Do you want to endure this? Healthy, whole community is the way to do it. And he subtly slips in four things that cost the community. Now, there are more. Gossip costs the community. But I'm not going to preach on it because it's not in there. Lack of forgiveness costs the community. I'm not going to preach on it because I'm not in there. But as we read, there are four things that are in here that are violent offenders to the community of God. Before I proceed, I'm going to give another directive. I would love to think that you would spring from your pews and come and pray whenever you're led. That would be holiness to me. I would love for that to begin happening. Okay? But sometimes I'm going to call you, you know? But I'm laying down another mandate right now. As I go through these four things, okay? Read them to you from the scriptures. I do that. If it even crosses your mind, if Satan whispers in your ear, oh, I wish Rob would do that. Oh, I wish Cassandra would do that. Oh, I wish Greg would do that. If that even creeps into your head, do me a favor. Shut it down or leave. Because I'm not talking to the person next to you. I'm talking to you. And if you're thinking about them, you're not listening to God talk to you. Fair enough? I've had to deal. You're going to hear some of my deal. I'm gonna tell you what convicted me. Why not? Verse 4, Solomon mentions the first enemy to community in verse 4. And I saw that the labor and achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. I want what they have. My kids need to have what their kids have. My son or daughter deserves what their son or daughter deserves. Y'all are like, no, it's not that bad. We really love each other, and we're not that jealous. What do you mean that jealous? What do you mean that jealous? That jealous is still jealous. Remember the cookie story? Even if it's only got one little itty-bitty bit of poo in your cookie, it's a poop cookie. Right? You know, in a little bit, 99 and 44, 100% pure. That's the advertisement for what? Dove soap. Dove soap, yeah. What's that other 56%? Arsenic? What's that other 56%? Cocaine? Come on. You don't want partway. A little jealous is enough jealous to kill a community. Financial class went great tomorrow. We've had two of them. We've got people rising themselves up out of debt. You know what one of the reasons for that debt is? Jealousy, envy, keeping up with the Joneses. I got to have what she's got to have, what he's got to have, what they've got to have, newest car, newest model. I need somebody to notice me. I am not angry at you, but I'm telling you that we're all guilty of it. And envy will kill a community. Verse 5, the fool folds his hands and ruins himself. You know what the second thing that kills a community is? Laziness. Laziness. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I have never condemned anyone in this room or intentionally, sometimes maybe unintentionally, but I've never intentionally made anyone feel guilty or shamed for not serving. I have consistently called you to serve. Okay? Now, think about it like this. There's a line, and I'm calling you to serve. I don't say how much. I don't say how little. I simply ask you to serve. So there is a zero line right here. Okay? Guess what we have in our church? We have people who serve so much that I have to ask them to go home. That I have to have phone conversations with them that say, hey, you're serving here, and now you've called me, and you want to serve here. And I want to have you serve here, but I did this 2 days ago, and the person's laughing now because I'm talking about them. And I said, I just need to ask you, do you have the time to serve? But they had already thought about it because they're probably wiser than I am, and they were ready, okay? We have people who overserve. Praise the Lord. We have people who serve. Praise the Lord. And we have people who underserve or don't serve at all. Praise the Lord. But here's what happens. People with the right spirit don't worry about it. They don't worry about it until this happens. You got three or four kids. They're all being a nuisance. And you bring them in every week. You drop them off every week. You pick them up late every week. For everything that we do, there needs to be kids' things there for you. And I don't remember one time you ever watching a kid, ever. Do I mind? Not at all. Is it eventually going to get on somebody's nerves? It sure is. Are your demands eventually going to be met with deaf ears? They sure are. Why? Because you're not doing anything. Because you're lazy. And guess what? Those people suck the life out of the body. I am not being mean. These are facts. People who ask for money and ask for service and ask for time and ask for things and need to be in my presence and need to be in Stephen's presence and need to be in Si's presence, and every single week you need something from us, yet there is not a penny in the plate, there is not a service going on. I am fine with you. I really am, because God has dealt with me in that before I got started. However, everybody's not fine with it, and you are grinding away at the community. This is what Solomon is trying to say. Jealousy will kill a community. We feel as if we deserve the blessings God chose to give someone else. Excuse me? Sweet friend, let me just see if I heard you correctly. God has chosen to bless, I need to make up a name, Mephibosheth, because nobody's named that around here. God has chosen to bless Mephibosheth over here with a new truck and three healthy kids. And you want to get in my face and you want to share with me how bad you think it is that they get the blessing and that you do not. Would you mind transferring your wisdom to God, taking it up with him and seeing how he feels about that? Dear sweet baby Jesus, I think it is totally unfair and unjust that you gave Johnny this and didn't give it to my husband. That is not going to go well. Community killer. Jealousy. Community killer. Laziness. Laziness breeds entitlement. Laziness breeds entitlement. It's all well and good, and I'm getting an amen until it's you. Oh, another one. Number three. It's a combination of the first two. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. I saw labor and achievements and man's envy. This is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. The fool folds his hands and ruins himself. Again, I saw meaningless. There was a man. He had neither son nor daughter. There were no end to his toil. These last few run together. The first thing is envy or jealousy, and we pretend that we deserve it. The second is idleness or laziness, and we need to take a real look at relationships that work and ask ourselves, do those relationships work if we don't put anything into them? Think about your marriage. If you didn't work at it, would it be any good? Think about community. If you don't work at it, it's not going to be any good. The third one, out of verse 6, is a dissatisfaction. And here's what that means. He's talking about the future. No work, no toil, nothing for tomorrow. Always focusing on what's next, what's going to happen, how to fix what's better, how to do what's better. I got to be careful how I phrase this. One of the guys in my fraternity said a phrase one night that I have used for years. Okay? We used to pass the gavel, and he would, about once a month, he'd just raise his hand and say some of the most wise things I've ever heard. And here's one he said. He said, if you got 1 foot in yesterday and 1 foot in tomorrow, then you're peeing all over today. He didn't say peeing, but how true is that? We are missing the gift of the present. And it's a community killer for this reason. We have no ability to look around and see the blessings God has already given us. I find myself so caught up in how I'm going to deal with 200, how I'm going to deal with 220, how I'm going to deal with 250, when what I need to be doing is asking God how much I can do for 150. Because if I'm not investing in the 150 while I'm worried about the 70 I've never met, I am failing you. I need to spin this one a little bit because I got convicted of something. I don't need any amens from the people who know me. I don't need. I'm calling out the fam right now. Well, I did something to my wife unintentionally. Okay, I got called on it by a friend, very intentionally, and you need to hear how that went down. Okay, one of my greatest assets is also one of my community killing flaws. Okay, I'm a perfectionist. I am all about efficiency. We used to have a phrase with the band: efficiency was lost. If I started to get a little one of the band members would always yell out, "Efficiency was lost." You know, we failed the timeline. All right, if you've worked with me, I'm just like, let's do it. So I like things to be efficient. I don't like them to be efficient because I have a disease or because I have OCD, though there's a little bit of that. I like them to be efficient because I'm hard on myself. And our small group talked about this last week. There is nobody in this room that I am harder on than me. And they will tell you that too, all right? But in my pursuit of excellence for myself and for you, out of literally out of a loving spirit, I want you to be better. I want you to have more. I want the worship team to feel loved on Sunday morning. So sometimes I say things blatantly during practice, and I don't understand that they're hurtful because I'm trying to get better, trying to make them better, and I'm not any harder on them. I'm actually harder on myself than I am on them, but I don't see that happening. I did something like this on vacation. I love Stephen, Cy, John, Debbie, and Jamie. I love them. And the greatest gift that I wanted, that I thought I could give them, was like, when we go on vacation, it's going to be perfect. They're not going to have to do anything. That's the way we run the Edge Conference. Anybody who knows, they go, we've already checked them into their rooms, we've already done the dividing, we've already paid the money. We do everything for them and hand them a package, and they enjoy the weekend. That's how I do life, okay? But in that relentless pursuit of making everything good, I got caught up in it. I wasn't caught up in it in a way that was like, he's an evil person. And they could have been really mad at me. They were a little mad. They could have been really mad. But I think they all know that I was trying to do good, not bad. I was trying to be helpful, not hurtful. And here's what happened. Right about the middle of the week, everything's going great. We'd all had massages. We'd all ridden ATVs. We'd all swam with dolphins. It was all taken care of. We had more than we could have hoped for. And we come back from a sunset cruise. We'd been out on a catamaran when the sun set over Mexico. Pretty cool, right? And we were going to one of the restaurants, okay? And we get up to the restaurant, and there's not just a wait. There's a wait to wait. You with me? Now, there's a reason the youth group and I go to Reds games on Mondays and Kings Island on Tuesdays, because there's no wait. There's a reason I don't go to Kings Island unless it's a Tuesday or a Thursday. There's no wait. I don't wait on anything. Nothing is that good that it takes time. I could be doing something else. I want people to enjoy time, not sit through time. You can do something different. So I did what I do. I said, okay, how much time do you want? They said 30 minutes. You know, if it's more than 30 minutes, we'll move on to the next thing. If it's not, it's not. But my wife really, 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 you getting this? Wanted to eat at this place. So we went up there. It was a 30-minute wait to the hour wait. I turned around and got ready to walk off, and Jamie's right up there waiting in line, giving her name. I didn't say anything, but they all knew. And I went over and sat on the couch and did an adult pastoral version of pouting. Now, this is true. This is true. Now, there was a way to fix this. I love my wife. She was tan. She was on the beach. She'd been in a bikini. She'd been smiling at me. She'd been on a boat. We'd been on the sunset. We've only been married a couple years. 3 years from now, here's how she's going to do this. She's going to walk right up to me when I start to get pouty, and she's going to do this little thing, you know. Yeah, I know. My sister's like, ew. But if it were, all right, she's going to do this little smile. She's going to reach out. She's going to grab my cheek. She's going to put her hands on my head. She's going to give me that grin like, later, and I'm going to be like, ha, ah. 2 hours is fine. All I need to know is that my wife, she needs to turn my hand. I love you. This is what I really want. All I want to do is give them what they want. That's all I really wanted to begin with. But I went over and I sat on the couch. And though I didn't say anything, I was saying everything. I was. Stephen sits down next to me. No. 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 He did it right. He just sat there. He did it right. He just sat there with me. Because he knew I couldn't hold it in. And I gave my side of the story. There's no need for you to hear that. Listen to me. My side of the story was just as right as their side of the story. It was. When I gave my side, he said, you're right. But because he's been there with me, because he has loved me, because I know that I can't fail him as a pastor, I don't know that with all of y'all, but I know that with him. I know that I can't fail him as a pastor. He used a word, and it was loving and hurtful all at the same time. He said, man, you have maestroed this whole thing very well. So what he did was, in about 8 words, he loved me and he told me to sit down and shut up. Because I trust Cy to do anything. I trust Steve to do anything. I trust Johnny and David. They're adults. I trust my wife. I needed to just let them do. You know, the maestro needed to put down his wand and just enjoy. It was a fail on my part. I was too busy planning to be in the moment. I was too Martha to see Jesus. And if I hadn't had loving friends, it would have been a community killer. You with me? Church, we do this regularly. Discontentment. Not being happy with what we have, where we are, will kill a congregation. Because you will be so planning and so wanting. And if you have children, you understand this. Not even my child. But this conversation happened 48 hours ago. Britt sent me a text. She said, you know Kenzie's going to be one in 2 days. And I wrote back, yeah, she needs to stop. I am happier than I may ever be with the way she is right now. You know why? Because she still loves me. She doesn't just love me. She loves me. And I ended up going over there for different things 3 times this week. And that little pumpkin just started walking. I mean, like in the last 2 weeks. And she came out of the kitchen and she saw me lit up, tried to speed up, face planted every time. Every time. She was 3 for 3. Cramp! She needs to stay right there. I want her always smiling when I walk in. I want her always squeezing my neck and laughing when she comes in. She can stop right now. And she ain't even mine. I know that. But she, you know. Do you see? That if I didn't live in the now, I would miss that looking forward to when she can ride a bike or when she can play a certain game. I always said, you know, give me teenagers because I know how they work. I know how they, but if you're looking for teenagers, you're missing all of the awesome things. It's the same in church. It's the same with each other. If we're so worried about what's getting ready to happen, we miss what's happening now on both sides. We're not there when people hurt, and we're not celebrating when they don't. Now, this last one's going to be really hard, especially in my family. Because this isn't pointed. This is not pointed. There was a man all alone, and he had neither son nor brother, and there was no end to his toil. The last community killer is work. I didn't say it. Solomon did. Work. And I'm going to add to that. And you are going to hate me for it, and I don't care, because it's in the Bible. And busyness. That's probably the biggest community killer in our church. Do you know how many times Cy or myself have taken a phone call where somebody said, hey, I don't know that person that well, or I don't know if I feel connected, or I don't know if I feel loved, or I don't know if I feel like people care that I'm there. And we both do the same thing. Hey, do you serve anywhere? Well, no, I need... Hey, are you in a small group? Well, no, I need... Hey, have you gotten in a Bible study? No, I need... Well, then what do you want us to do? I've told you to get in a small group. I've told you to serve. And I've told you to, you know, communicate with others while you're doing these things. You're coming to me with, I'm not connected. There's a reason. Well, I've got this. I've got this. I've got that. I've got that. I've got this. I've got that. Let me tell you something. This and that and this and that and this and that and this and that will end and you will be alone because you've taken no time to make friends and take them on the journey with you. And that's probably the biggest thing here as a group. Individually, there are way bigger things we've already dealt with. But here, as a group, that's probably our biggest thing. We live in a world of do, 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 do. I had to be careful not to say we live in a world of do-do. Nice. There are some very valid excuses why people won't be here tonight. Very valid. But there are way more invalid excuses why people aren't here. There are some really valid excuses why about 60 of our members aren't here this morning. But more of them are invalid. You will never get to your deathbed and say, I wish I spent more time toiling. You're going to say, I wish I spent more time hugging. I wish I spent more time swinging a hammer. No, I wish I spent more time chasing my kid on his bike. I wish I spent more time at that adding machine. No, I wish I spent more time at the zoo or Kings Island. There will never be a day when one of your church family comes or when one of your church family goes that you will say, I wish I'd have been away from them more. You will always say, ah, there's so much more I wanted to do with them. There's so much more I wanted to be with them. There's a solution to that. Without making excuses, be with them. Just be with them. They need you. And many of you are beginning to experience the fact that you need them in a mighty way. And we have to be those things together. Oppression is coming. Toil is coming. Pain is coming. Death is coming. Hard times are coming. I'm dreaming and hoping and praying and looking out and opening my eyes and beginning to believe that right here on the street corner with you, mechanics, bartenders, secretaries, teenagers, factory workers, foodies, smart people, not as smart as smart people, that God is creating the community he called for, a community of imperfect people who are trying hard to do community together. I believe we're making a healthy church, and I believe that healthy church, as we go through the storm, is going to show itself. When I got here the first time, my grandfather said to me, some of you will know this name, very few, but some. My grandfather said to me, find Leo Wild. Find Leo Wild. Leo was a tall, quiet deacon, incredible man, in his 70s at that time, maybe. And I said, why? Here's what my grandfather said. He said, because I've seen him in the fire. And he doesn't burn. He doesn't lose his temper. He doesn't lose his way. If you're in the war, spiritually speaking, Leo's the one you want with you. And my grandfather was right. Individually, we need to grow and mature so that we are those people. But it was the testing that proved to my grandfather who Leo was. Church. It is the testing that we're about to go through, that we're already going through, that we will continue to go through as we grow. It is the testing that will show whether we as a body are healthy or not. It's coming. It's coming hard and it's coming fast. And how we react and respond to one another, that will show whether we're healthy or not. Let's pray healthy. Let's play healthy. Let's be healthy together. We are kicking out jealousy. We are kicking out idleness. We are kicking out complacency. We are kicking out looking ahead instead of at the now. We are kicking out doing stuff over being together. Okay? And we're going to get through all of the meaninglessness. And we're going to answer Jesus' prayer when he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to bring heaven under the sun. Right here. For I have not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. Be the church together. Let's pray.